Good morning. Definitely good to be here this morning. I guess I know most of you. A few of you don't know, but it's a privilege to be here. Yeah, I'm Jolene's brother and brother-in-law to her husband there. forget his name right now, but I'm sure he'll come back. But definitely good to be here. Also, did work with Lyle here. That's been, 12 years ago or so. I was just thinking this morning. And got a lot of stories about Lyle, but I guess I won't take up the time for that. But looks like you're doing your part in helping the church grow. So that's good. So it's definitely good to be here. One thing I did want to say, every time that I come, I feel there's a warmth here and a friendliness. And I believe that's the gift the Lord has given you, is you're real friendly folks. And I can make myself right at home here. And I think the last time we were here, it's been a while back, but I learned something from a couple of your leaders. I seen Jerry and Elvin, they both had little children they were carrying around. And that blessed me. And I know Tommy had his hands full of his own, but that really blessed me. And I believe you guys have really good leaders here, and it's definitely a privilege to be here. The message that the Lord has laid on my heart this morning is, and anybody that's heard me preach knows this is very close to my heart. It's on forgiveness. And I want to look at Matthew 18. But I want to first take a verse out of Hebrews 12, verse 15. Forgiveness, I believe, is probably one of the most, I believe it's what Christ has built his kingdom on, is forgiveness. You know, when somebody asks, what's the importance of the blood? All through the Old Testament into the New, it was for forgiveness, for reconciliation. And I believe as a follower of Jesus Christ, we will forgive. It's not an option. It's just a part of who we are as born-again believers. People that aren't born again cannot forgive. They can't. Because forgiveness always starts at the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's a blessing. I know it's a blessing to serve the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 15, I want to take one verse out of there. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You know, we love to sing songs about God's grace, the unmerited favor from God to us. But it says to be careful, he's talking to the church here, that you will not fall from his grace. Because grace alone is why we're saved. That's the only reason we're saved. But he's saying here that we can fall from God's grace. How can we do that? And it goes on to say, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled or unclean. Here it says that bitterness will defile and make us unclean. What is bitterness? Bitterness, I've experienced bitterness in my life. I know exactly what bitterness is. I know how it feels to have an out of control anger. I know how it feels to want to get even. I know how it feels when wrath solidifies itself in the soul. I know what bitterness is. Several years ago, I watched a man that was in his 50s crawl to the altar. And he didn't even know how to cry. He just squealed and had tears rolling down his eyes. And later I found out that he laid something at the altar that day. When he was a young man, he was sexually abused. And he laid it at the altar. But for years, till his mid-50s, he lived in bitterness. And there's a lot of people that say, I've tried Christianity, it don't work. I've tried salvation, it just don't work. It's because of bitterness. Also, I've watched a young man one time struggling. He said, I want to get out of this bitterness. And as he opened his heart, he said, when I was a young boy, my dad chained me to the basement like a dog and fed me for a long time. He says, what do I do to get out of this? I don't want to be bitter. You could tell it all over him that he had severe bitterness in his life. Here it says something about bitterness. It said it's a root that will come through the soul. You know, I work on the lakes, and often when I'm digging a hole for a post, there might be a tree 15 to 20 feet away, and I hit a big root. A root will grow. It will weave its way through the emotions, through the mind, through the soul, and will take control of our lives. That's why it's called a root. It's a cancer to the soul when we allow bitterness into our life. And also, a root will always, always bear fruit. A root will bear the fruit of wrath. It will bear the fruit of fear. You know, people that are full of wrath, they attack others verbally often, or even physically. But they love to hurt others. They love to see others hurt. They love to put others down behind their back. That's a person that is full of bitterness and wrath. And a person full of wrath will often attack themselves. They will say, I'm worthless. You know, in the last several months, you know, I've seen people even, heard people even cutting themselves because they're so full of bitterness and wrath. And it even comes to the place that some people attack themselves to the point they become suicidal. Also, wrath, bitterness will produce the fruit of addictions. And often it comes out in a way of sexual addiction. Seeing people not as God's creation, not as someone that God created, but as a tool for self-gratification. Again, that's a state of wrath. Again, bitterness produces fear. It produces, and out of fear, the fruit of fear is doubt. Wondering, am I truly saved? Am I truly born again? They question themselves over and over again. They live a life of performance. Maybe if I do the right thing. Maybe if I go to church on Sundays. Maybe if I take care of the neighbor. Maybe if I wear the right clothes. Maybe if I do the right thing, I can gain favor with God. Listen, Christianity is not about gaining favor with God. Christianity is about Him serving us, not us serving Him. Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. I'm going to wash yours. He said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. That is the call of Christianity. We have to allow Him to serve our heart. Every other religion is about serving their God. Our Christianity, serving God, is about Him. Allowing Him to change our heart and filling us with His love so that we can serve others. That's the difference. But again, people that have the performance mindset often have bitterness in their life that they don't want to let go of. They don't want to release. Also, a lot of forms of depression come from bitterness in people's lives. Again, the root weaves through the soul, the mind, will, and emotion, and takes control of a person's being. And again, here it says, beware lest any man fail of God's grace. And then it says, and many become unclean. Bitterness is something that we need to be aware of as people constantly. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He has an agenda for each one of your families here today. He wants to kill, he wants to steal, and he wants to destroy. His way of doing it, I believe, is accusation. He says, you know about this brother over here? Planting a seed in your mind about a brother or sister. And then he gets a hold of someone's life and controls them with bitterness. Bitterness is something that we need to be scared of and fearful of. It will destroy and it will take us to the uttermost parts of hell. Again, Satan's teeth are taken out. He's a roaring lion. But he can only do what we give him. And when we give him our life in bitterness, he will take control and use it. There is a cure for bitterness. Turn with me to Matthew 18. This is the power of the cross, the blood. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. I want to stop here and say this. Peter was not forgiving. He was keeping track. Forgiveness is not keeping track. Forgiveness is releasing when somebody does something wrong against us. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. I believe in silver it's around 40-some million that he owed the king. To me, that is a totally unpayable debt. It's impossible to pay that debt. There's no way we can pay it. Verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children all that he had, and payment to be made. Again, it cost him his family's life. It cost him his whole family. And that's what sin will do. It will take everything. The servant, verse 26, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Again, this is a born-again believer, I believe. The 44 million is totally erased. It is totally taken away. But the same servant, this is the one that just was forgiven. How many here like to be forgiven for the unpayable debt? Isn't that a blessing? I do. I love to be forgiven. I can hold my head up this morning because of what Christ has done for me. Isn't that a blessing? But that same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. I believe that was $44. He said, you're going to pay me back. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. You know, if we have unforgiveness in our life, we think we put someone in prison, but we simply put ourselves into a prison. And it's amazing, the jail keeper is us. We keep ourselves there. It's a lonely place, full of broken relationships, suspicions, mistrust. This prison of unforgiveness. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after they had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. There's a lot of people, I believe, that are born again believers that have accepted Jesus Christ that are living in torment today, because they have unforgiveness in their life. This is the Word of God. This is the spoken Word of God. The same Word that spoke the sun, the moon, the earth, and us into being. It will not change. He said if we have unforgiveness in our life, we will be in torment. There was a man once that this taught me about torment. He had a pretty severe issue. He wanted to meet. And I said, I'll meet with you weekly. He said, I don't know what's going on, but I have all these negative emotions. He was on, all kinds of labels and everything else you can imagine. And I said, well, why don't we just pray? This was some years ago, and it taught me something. Every week we met, he said, I have so much rage in my life. He said, some people get me so mad. And he stood up, and his eyes looked weird, and he said, I want to kill him. The next minute he sat down, he said, I'm so scared, I can't even sleep at night. I'm fearful. I'm afraid. And this kept on going and going, and all of a sudden he came to a point where he said, one week he said, there was something that happened to me when I was a young man. Church rejected him or something. He said, what do I do with it? I said, you forgive. Every week he had something new. The last week he looked as normal as could be. And he stood there with his head down. He said, when I was 12 years old, my mom said, get this blankety blank out of my house. I never want to see him again. He said, I grew up in orphanages. He said, how do you forgive that? I said, I don't know, but I know you have to. Most of us here don't have a story like that, but forgiveness is just as real. The man found freedom because he forgave. Forgiveness, again, is not an option in Christ's kingdom. Verse 35, as we go on here, again, torment is real. The torment of doubt, the torment of fear, the torment of wrath is real in our hearts when we allow unforgiveness into our life. Verse 35, it says, so likewise, this is the tormentors, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You know, I've tried to forgive it from my mouth. I've tried to forgive people from my head. But here it says releasing from the heart. I have a question. How do we forgive? Let's turn to Matthew 26. We have a great example on forgiveness. One thing I want to say with that, why is it so hard to forgive? I'm talking from experience. Let's say me and someone else get in a squabble. Someone says something to me, I say something back. We go back and forth. If I release him, guess who I have to deal with? I have to deal with me. Most people are scared to deal with me because they want an excuse why they did what they did. See, that's the victim attitude. And the victim attitude will pass on down right through the family. I've lived in that for years, I know. But again, we have to release this part, and then we have to face right here. That's who we have to face. And most of us, if you're like me, don't like to face me. It's hard. I'd rather face, you know, this other guy that said it first. It's easier. Matthew 26, verse 36. How do we forgive? Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face, praying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and find them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Again, 3 times he prayed this, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, what he was saying, is there any other way? Is there any other way besides me going to the cross and taking Scott's sin? Is there any other way for me going to the cross and taking Shiloh's sin? Is there any other way? And there was not any other way. The only way was through forgiveness. And as he went to the cross, see, the pain and the shame of the cross, well, I don't believe was the pain, it was the shame. It was that he became the abuser. He became the murderer. He became the gossiper. He became the bitter person, so that me and you can be free. That's what he did for each one of us. That's how he paid the $44 million. And you know, I'm going to say this right now. If you believe that you can stand in front of an almighty God someday and think that I'm a victim, you don't know what happened to me. When we see the scars in our Savior's hands, when we see the scars on his back, we will not have an excuse. We will not say, you don't know what's happened to me. Because he paid it all. He gave it all. That we can be free. You know, I'm going to finish up here this morning. I want to give time for the young lady that is gone. But you know, there was a young lady came to me 2 weeks ago that's been through a lot. And she said, and this blessed me, she said, I went to lay my sins at the cross. I had a vision. I wanted to lay my sins at the cross. But it's very clear that the cross was not only what that I've done, but it was also what was done to me. She said, I couldn't just lay half of it. She said, I had to lay it all. That's what the Bible says in Matthew 6. If you forgive not men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will not forgive your trespasses. We set the tone of our forgiveness. There's maybe people here struggling with their past this morning. Let me tell you why. Because you're focused on someone else's past. When our head is in our past, we will never see the future. But when we learn to release and forgive, we will also be released and forgiven. You know, for years I wondered what it meant. It says it twice in the Bible. By his stripes, you are healed. What does that mean? You know, I found out it was only about a year and a half ago that really resonated with me. When our Savior was bent over a pole and his hands tied down, his back was taut. And they took a whip and they cut him wide open. 39 lashes. The reason they did that was simply so they would die on the cross. When they hung on the cross, they were in an awkward position. They couldn't stand on their feet because their hands were in a position that they couldn't totally straighten their legs out. So if they'd hang on their arms, they'd eventually suffocate. But the reason they would scourge them was simply because of this. They would lose blood. And they would die quicker. They'd hang on their arms and they would suffocate. But I want to say this. When our Savior was taking those precious breaths, he said three things. One, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he took our sin. Again, he forgave us. He looked out at the crowd with another of those precious breaths, the ones that were beating him, laughing. Says they took a rod and hit him and beat thorns on his head. And it wasn't a pretty sight. It was a mass, blood, and totally naked. He looked out and looked at him with love in his eyes. He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. The thief on the other side of him, the third one, he forgave him. Now you might say, and I might say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you? I want to ask that question. Do you follow him? Do you forgive like he forgives? Do you let things go like he let them go? You know, if someone could come to you and say, I'm a good carpenter, but I can't read a tape measure, would you believe them? That's the same way with someone says that I'm born again, but I can't forgive. It's impossible. If we're followers of Jesus Christ, we will forgive. In 1 John, it speaks very clearly. This is how we know the difference between those that are born again and those that are lost is by the ability to love. Not our ability, but Christ's ability within us. This is the difference. Again, we need to have our Savior serve us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for the power of forgiveness. Lord, maybe there's some people here this morning that need to forgive. We just pray your Holy Spirit would give them direction how, Lord. And just pray that you continue blessing this congregation. Again, we ask that you'd forgive us where we fail. Why don't we all say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.